This is the Truth Network.
Our guest today is a believer in America who was just arrested for his faith in North Carolina and thrown in jail. Wow, can you believe it? Now, we've interviewed a lot of folks from overseas who've been even beaten and accosted and arrested for their faith and spent time in prison, but never that I can remember, maybe it's been a long time, have we interviewed someone in America who's been in jail for their faith in Jesus Christ. But there's another wrinkle to this, civil disobedience. When you're told with the coronavirus everywhere by your authorities to stay home, yet the abortion clinics are still allowed to be open to take life, are you allowed, if you honor social distancing and if you are smart, are you allowed to go and pray across the street from abortion clinics? I mean, pray peacefully. Well, that's what Justin Reeder and his group did with lovelife.org. It's very controversial. Would love to hear everyone's thoughts on it, but right now we're going to talk to him and hear exactly what happened from the horse's mouth. Justin Reeder, great to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, man.
We're glad you're on. Now, let me clarify, this isn't his first phone call from the jail cell. You are currently not in prison, right?
That's right. Yeah, okay. We've been released. We released a few hours ago.
Okay, tell us what happened. Set the whole thing up for us so our listeners will know. And then a big question is, at what point do you obey God and not man? At what point, what's the line, Christians listening out there, do you cross when your convictions tell you to go pray for and be a force against the killing of our own young in our country with obeying the mayor and the governor's order to not go out if you don't have to? What do you do if you're Justin Reeder and you've got to make some decisions? Tell us what happened. I hope I set it up okay for you.
Yeah, that's great, man. Just, I mean, to begin, we've been ministering in front of the local abortion clinic in Greensboro and Charlotte and Raleigh and New York City every week for now many years. We started over 4 years ago. And that's what we do. That's what our ministry does. We go out there, we pray, we mobilize sidewalk counseling teams to be there to offer hope and life resources for families. So we've been doing that week in and week out.
And this ministry is called, sorry to cut you off, this ministry is called Love Life. Just those two words, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, lovelife.org if you want to find out more about it. But we mobilize the church. That's our whole mission. Unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that will result to an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. And we just believe God's called the church to shape the culture. Politician, legislation, that's downstream. They're going to follow the culture. And so really calling upon the church to be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world and shape the culture. So that's the mission we're on and we continue to be on. And it all kind of came to a clash here this last Saturday as our group was out there prayer walking, people from the local community, local church here prayer walking, sidewalk teams out there ministering to folks that were coming for abortions. And the police decided to push against that pretty hard, and we don't fault the police. I want to be careful on how I say that, but they enforced what city leaders we believe are really pushing them to do, and they wouldn't allow us to walk, and we're operating under social distancing. We're abiding by CDC recommendations. We're not gathering as groups. We're walking as individuals, 10 feet plus apart. And we're not doing our typical gathering like we used to do before the virus began to spread. Again, individuals out there walking and praying on their own. And that was shut down. They said, get back in your car, go home. You cannot be here. They sent our sidewalk teams away. Yet, while the abortion center remains open, over 20 people were in that abortion center on Saturday in Greensboro in a very tiny building. I would say it's not more than 1,000 square feet. Very small building, over 20 people packed in that building, which is very hypocritical if you think about it. If we're really concerned about COVID-19, why are they allowing that many people to be packed into that building when we are outside, spread out, individuals, and open air? But that's what took place. And so I was in Charlotte ministering and helping lead the prayer walk there. We got the call that Greensboro was giving a lot of resistance to our prayer walk. So we went up there to see what was going on and try to explain the ordinance to the police. We had it printed out in hand. Our attorney was on site with us and just began to explain to him that we have a lawful right to be here. There's outdoor activity provision. There's also the charitable organization provision, which we are. We are a 501c3 offering resources and help to these families. But they didn't want to hear it. They had predetermined really where they were going to stand on this. And so they took five of us that were out there prayer walking and ministering. They took us into custody, took us to jail. And so that's really what started it. That was on Saturday last week. And we came out today because we knew that, you know, there was still this great resistance that was happening. Our sidewalk teams were there with their mobile units, offering free ultrasounds to moms coming in. They shut them down today and made them leave, which is just absurd when you think about it, Stu. I mean, inside, they're doing ultrasounds, charging them a couple hundred dollars for an ultrasound. We're offering them a free one outside and giving people real choices. You know, they say they're about choice. We're offering real choices to these moms, these dads, these hurting families. And they shut that down as well as shut the prayer walks down and started arresting people again today. So that's an unfortunate situation, but we believe with a lot of clarity, we've had a lot of attorneys look at this and a lot of attorneys working with us, that we have been unlawfully arrested. Again, we are abiding by CDC recommendations. We are doing social distancing. These are small groups. We had, I think it was seven people arrested today, five on Saturday. These are small groups that are spread out, that are out there praying and ministering to these families. And while all this is happening, you know, innocent children are being murdered today. We were unable to do what we came for, which was ministering to those moms and dads. In New York City today, we had three families that chose life because our team was there, because the church was there. How many could have been saved today in Greensboro if we were allowed to do what the Lord has called us to do? And so, again, we believe, number one, that we have been unlawfully arrested. We have clear provisions and ordinance to be there and operating with social distancing and so on. But number two, even if we didn't, which we do, but even if we didn't, we obey God rather than man when there's a clash. And here there is a clash. We are called to rescue those who are being led to the slaughter. And we know exactly where that is happening in our city, where murder is taking place. Therefore, the church must be present. We must be there to be a voice for those who have no voice, who are the most vulnerable among us. Here we are trying to do everything we can do to protect life with the COVID-19 virus, yet we're hardly willing to do anything to protect the most vulnerable among us, the children in the womb.
Wow. So let me clarify Justin Reeder with Love Life, who was just arrested with some others for peacefully praying on private property across the street from an abortion clinic, which, even though the mayor and the governor shut that area down of Greensboro for a shelter in place, no going out, they kept the murdering of little children. We kill our young in our country, which is tragic. They kept that going. Now, Justin, am I correct on this, that elective surgical procedures have been shut down by and large? Like, if you want to fix your eyesight or you want to get that old shoulder injury repaired, they're shutting all these surgeries down at the hospitals, but they're allowing women... they're allowing babies to be killed. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. I mean, so you guys went out there. Okay, go ahead.
I could have drove there today with my wife. My wife is 18 weeks pregnant right now. I could have driven there and murdered my child today and been totally fine. You know, they would have allowed that. I could have gone to the liquor store on the way there or afterwards, and it would have been completely fine. But to be out there praying and ministering, you're going to get thrown in jail. It's obviously been targeted also, Stu. I just want to point that out. And I mean, just even while I was in the back of the police car with the cuffs on, I'm looking out the window, watching people walk down the sidewalks, individuals, you know, just walk down the sidewalks who are not being approached by the police at all. It's because of who we are and what we represent.
And
if we were out there, you know, singing Disney songs and praying to Peter Pan, I don't think anybody would care. Ultimately, it's because we're standing for Jesus, we're standing for righteousness, we're standing for life.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, Justin, that you are this Love Life ministry, which we follow you for some time. My good friend Steve Noble has done a bunch of interviews with you, and a bunch of other Truth Network folks. You've been on all of our shows, on my show. This is the most peaceful pro-life minister I've ever come in contact with, friends. I mean, you guys are not standing across the street yelling profanities, disparaging women, preaching, yelling, and screaming. I mean, you are literally across the street peacefully praying.
Correct. Yeah, we operate for all of our prayer walks. We operate under a code of conduct that we're not there to engage with anybody at the abortion center. So we do these prayer walks week in and week out with local churches, and that's exactly what we do. We pray, we worship, very peaceful. We're not there engaging with anybody. We've had almost 70,000 people out at our prayer walks over the last 4 years. Not one of our people have ever been cited by the police. No one has ever been violent. Nobody's ever broken our code of conduct. We have an incredible record for that. We do mobilize teams that get trained to do sidewalk outreach, which is when they call out to a mom, "Hey, Mama, we love you. God loves you. There's other options available for you. Come over to the mobile unit. Let's show you, your child through the free ultrasound." So that's what sidewalk teams do. But for the prayer walks, we're not even talking to anybody. We're praying. We're looking upward towards heaven.
And you're saying lives have been changed. You're saying moms have chosen life. They've walked out of there and left the abortion clinic as a result of just that prayer, just passive prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. We had three this morning in New York City. Three in New York City today, this morning. Three that were scheduled to die that showed up for an abortion that chose life. Six on Saturday. Wow. Four of them were in Charlotte. Two of them were in New York City. I mean, we've seen now over 1,800 families that have made the choice for life as the church has been present over the last 4 years. And that's what they're trying to take away from us in Greensboro.
Okay, so now look at, we're out of time for the segment on this program, but you're going to stay on with me for five more minutes, and we're going to put this on our podcast. If you haven't downloaded my podcast channel, everyone, just look up Truth Talk Weekend. Go to our Truth Network on podcast, Google that. You'll see my show. Download it, and because if you hear the whole thing, you're going to hear Justin's going to tell us on the podcast portion what exactly happened in that jail. It'll blow your mind. And I'm going to throw a little devil's advocate question at him as well. So we're going to say bye to radio, folks. We're going to stay on podcast. But I do, Justin Reeder with Love Life. We're praying for you, and I know we're praying for all the law enforcement folks and for the witness of Christ, most importantly, and for the moms to make the right decision and men to influence the women that they impregnate to choose life and save life, because God is a God of life, and we want a culture of life in our culture, and we want to advocate this graciously and with the gospel on the tips of our tongues. Justin, give the website real quick as we say goodbye to our radio audience.
Lovelife.org.
Okay, learn more, watch the videos there of what happened to as we go there next. I want to say a special thank you to a wonderful partner helping us advance the message of this program of the gospel. And the thank you goes out to MyPillow.com. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has now opened his heart to say thank you as well. He wants to give you the opportunity to do what I've done. I've slept on this pillow. I love MyPillow. I sleep better. What would you give for a good night's sleep? Right now, for the first time, you can get deep discounts on all the MyPillow products. I'm talking about the MyPillows, the mattress toppers, the bed sheets, and the body pillow. All their products right now, all you got to do is go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials. MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you'll save big. You won't believe the savings. Just enter promo code TRUTH when you get there. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You can also call this toll-free number, 800-944-5396. Thank you, MyPillow, for partnering with us to advance the good news of the gospel. And thank you to all you guys that have checked them out and supported our sponsors. Okay, Justin Reeder with Love Life. We had a great visit, and he's still with me because there's some more things to cover. Because, Justin, you, as a believer in Christ, went to jail on Saturday, which was as a result of a whole lot of things. But your main crime, what did they tell you your crime was? Because I know the mayor of Greensboro shut the city down and said, you can only be out for critical things, and you were out praying harmlessly and graciously across the street from an abortion clinic, not violating any trespassing laws, not creating a ruckus, just simply praying for God to do supernatural things and to save lives. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. They got ticketed for non-essential travel. Actually, they first ticketed us for gathering over 10, but there was only five of us there, so they had to correct that and change what they wanted to write us up for, which was non-essential travel. They deem abortions as essential, you know, even though we've shut down, you know, dentist offices, and we've closed the church doors. They continue to leave the abortion center doors wide open. And so we view it as vital and essential for us to be there to offer these families real choices and offer them an out, and offer them hope in Jesus' name. And so that's why we're there. We're there to pray. We're there to minister to those families.
So someone says to you, look, just stay home, Justin. Don't go pray for the abortion clinic. Don't do your lovelife.org ministry on this particular Saturday because the mayor just issued a stay-at-home notice. Let the coronavirus pass. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to, you know, are you trying to showboat here? What do you say to detractors out there or even Christians that say, what are you thinking getting arrested for this when, you know, you could have just stayed home?
Yeah, first I would say, you know, we've honored the laws. We've honored the CDC recommendations. We do social distancing while we're there. All of us are spread out, you know, 10 feet apart plus. Hand sanitizer. We had a massive jug of hand sanitizer out there with us. And so we're not being foolish. We're operating in wisdom. But the reality is that people are being murdered in that building. It's not a 1.5% chance like COVID-19 is that you might die from that sickness or whatever the exact percentage is right now. It's somewhere around there. It's a 100% chance that people that show up there for abortions, that those children will die unless a miracle takes place. And the way that God always brings about his kingdom and works, he does it through the portal of man and women here on earth. That's how he ushers in his kingdom. And we must be there to be a voice, to be the hands and feet of Jesus for those families. Otherwise, they don't know. Just one great example is this past Saturday in Charlotte, as a mom pulled in, she began getting ministered to by the sidewalk team. The church was out there prayer walking around the loop. And after an hour of reaching to this mom, she made the choice for life, and she cited, I saw all those people out there praying for me, and it helped me make the choice for life because I knew I wasn't alone. Our presence matters at these places. You know, our love cannot just be something we say with words, but it must be an action. And so we're out there. We're operating also under the provisions that are allowed in the ordinance. There are provisions for outdoor activity, and it doesn't tell you where you have to do that outdoor activity. I live right next to a park, and the parks have been slammed. People are all out there. You know, we're out there prayer walking. We have provisions for worship, for prayer. We have provisions also in there for charitable organizations, which we are a 501c3, offering resources to these families. So our presence out there is not unlawful, and we are operating by CDC recommendations. And above all that, we have a moral obligation to be there to rescue those who are being slaughtered.
So I want you to talk about what happened in that jail cell and that when you went to jail and tell everyone. In a lot of this, I'm learning as we're talking. I've known Justin, I've known you for some time, and I've really come to respect your ministry. I've been in senior headquarters, and you even gave me like a 3XL t-shirt, which I really appreciated, being a big basketball guy, that says Love Life on it. And it's fun to wear it because then everyone says, what does that mean? I say, well, it means that, thank God your mom loved life because you're talking to me. Now I can share with you the good news of Jesus. Yeah. And these guys are all about Jesus. They're not just a cause or a pro-life thing or another social justice movement. They are all about bringing Christ to people and loving not just the baby who deserves to be born because that baby was created by God, but loving the mom who's obviously in a crisis, very difficult time. But the irony, before you talk about the jail, just maybe comment on the irony of a culture, America, that has been plagued, besieged by this coronavirus that has hence shut down every kind of thing, every kind of retail, you know, a lot of restaurants can only do takeout, and it's shut down by and large all the medical except for essential. It's shut down all the essential life-giving medical procedures, a la heart surgery. You've got a triple bypass. You got to have that. Maybe a replacement of a kidney replacement, you know, transplants, things like that. They haven't shut those down, but of all the things they haven't shut down, shutting down dental offices, shutting down elective procedures and all that. Heard about a Duke neurologist who's kind of, you know, all his surgeries got tabled. They got pushed back. So all these things being closed down, yet the abortion clinics where you were just arrested, Justin, and your team, they're allowed to stay open to make money in the killing of life in our country. There's a tragic irony in that that should just be heartbreaking, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's a great hypocrisy that, that God is allowing for us to see right now in this moment where we're doing everything we can to preserve and protect life, you know, for the elderly and for those who might potentially get sick for this. Yet we are deeming abortion as essential, as Planned Parenthood says, it is a priority. And these places remain open in the midst of all of this. I believe it's a great hypocrisy, Stu, not just in the world, but even in the church. Here's what I mean. We are willing to blow this trumpet for this virus. We are willing to use our voice, reuse our resources, uproot our schedules and everything else to preserve our own lives. Yet we're willing to do very little for those where we know people are being burdened. Are being murdered. In the state of North Carolina alone, we have over 500 children that are murdered every single week at these abortion centers. Over 500 every single week. I don't know the latest number on COVID-19 for the state of North Carolina, but it was about 5 last time I checked.
Wow.
As far as deaths.
And that's just North Carolina. That's just, you're saying there's more abortion deaths, the killing of these precious little ones, than there are corona deaths?
100%. Here in North Carolina, over 500 abortions every week. Where is the moral outcry? Where are the press conferences? Where are us changing our schedules and shifting resources and changing the way we live to stand for the most vulnerable in our cities? It's a great hypocrisy that is being highlighted right now that exists, again, not only in the culture, but within the church.
Wow, that is just sad. Well, tell everyone what happened in jail. Now, you guys, you're arrested, you're hauled off in the squad cars, cuffed and stuffed in jail. And so, what did you guys do? Get in jail and start cussing and throwing angry and calling lawyers and turning over tables and slamming into the bars, or what happened?
Absolutely not, man. No, and I just want to say this about our police officers, man. They, you know, have been very respectful to us. We're very thankful for the police, and we know that they have a very difficult job. But no, we treat everybody with respect and honor, and we had a prayer service. We had a worship service, a prayer service in the holding cell where we were. It was powerful, man. I mean, several pastors went to jail today. 4 pastors went to jail. Local pastors here, that one of them that has a church right next door to the abortion center, Pastor Lee Stokes.
Wow.
His brother has stood very faithfully and strong. And, you know, he went to jail today. Local shepherds, local pastors who are standing for the most vulnerable among us. I'm telling you, man, this is the time for us to rise. I just left the Woolworth department store where the Civil Rights Museum is. I was there with Pastor Lee Stokes. And 60 years ago, almost to the date, 60 years ago is when that took place. And I believe God is doing something again in this area.
Wow. Well, pray for Justin, pray for his team, pray for Love Life, wherever you come out on this, with it, when it comes to civil disobedience, when it comes to Christians crossing the line. I really think, you know, Justin, I can't see your heart. So for me to say you shouldn't have done that, you know, I don't know your motives. And it really sounds like you wanted to honor Christ and you wanted to be a part of saving life and you were being respectful and honorable of your authorities. And when they arrested you, you went right along with them. You didn't throw a fight. You didn't dump water on them like they're doing all over New York. You know, they're dumping water on cops. They're stealing things right in front of cops. They're looting in L.A. The shelter in place doesn't seem to be working in L.A. where they're looting, just crashing in stores and stealing stuff. But here you guys are humbly praying across the street from an abortion mill where they're killing little ones, and you get arrested, and you take that as a badge of honor for Christ. And I'm kind of humbled and glad that you stopped by to talk to us today and grateful for you. What's your challenge out there for people to wake up? And maybe even during this time, you know, coronavirus has a lot of folks at home, has a lot of folks maybe with a little more time on their hands they wanted. A lot of tensions are high, a lot of bad negative news out there, a lot of fake and false reporting too. But what's your challenge to believers out there, Justin, about standing up for Christ in these dark times?
Yeah, I just would say Jesus told us that in this world we will have all kinds of trouble, but take heart because he has overcome the world. Mm. This is the time for us not to shrink back, but to rise to the occasion. We were built for this. The body of Christ was built for times like this. And if we want to preserve our lives, Jesus is very clear about that. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. If you want to find your life, you will lose it. If you want to preserve your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and for the gospel, you will find it. Now is the time for us to lay our lives down for others. If you're in this area, I encourage you to come out to your local abortion clinic and prayer walk. Operate, you know, with wisdom. Don't be foolish. Don't be out there high-fiving, touching people. Operate with social distancing, but be out there and be a voice for the most vulnerable among us. We don't know where the next COVID-19 death is going to take place, but I know where the next scheduled child is going to be murdered in Greensboro. It's on Randleman Road tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. We can go to our local abortion clinics and prayer walk, and again, operate in wisdom. That is my challenge to you, church. It's time to get out and move. Lay our lives down so that others can live.
Oh, what a blessing. Well, thank you, man. Everyone pray for this guy and get involved in the discussion. Hey, if you don't agree with what he did, if you don't believe Christians should be that active in the culture, in the saving of lives, even with these current restrictions and these current laws, have a conversation about it. That's why we have these conversations, and I'd love to hear from you on my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, at Stu Epperson, and I'm going to try to find some of these videos and links and link them out there to throw some shouts out for Love Life and to keep advancing. We're praying for an advancement in the culture of life. Hey, let's not murder, let's not kill the baby that's going to be born that's going to grow up and find the cure for the coronavirus. It's a little bit, it's all just tons and tons of contradictions here, Justin. It's something else, isn't it? So what a blessing you are. Thanks for all you're doing. Lovelife.org is his website. Please download and share this particular interview as far and wide as you can. And throw some love out at Justin on his social media places. And pastors, you can get involved. I've got a pastor friend, by the way, in Greensboro. Justin, you'll love to hear this. He and his wife are going down there almost every week with your team. He said, our Methodist church has never really done this. I mean, we've always been pro-life and supported the pregnancy centers and the banquets, but we've never done this. He says, I can't believe we're doing this, but he said, it's awesome because these folks are spirit-filled, they're praying, and they're really serving and ministering. And he says, it's just been a great thing for our family to really step out in faith, you know, amid this chaos and show the love of Christ. So you can do the same thing. You can join Justin and his family, and your family's very much involved, huh, Justin? The whole, your brother and your family, they're very much taking ownership of this, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad's here in the car with me right now, and you know, it's a family ministry, a family call. We believe that families should be out there next to families, rebuilding our city, just as Nehemiah did. So this is my children are involved, you know, they pray continually for this. What a great opportunity for us to disciple our children and what our faith looks like.
That's something. You guys are in Charlotte. Be sure you tell everyone if you're back home by Saturday this coming week. I think that's the first Saturday in April of 2020. You can hear this program on at 4 o'clock on AM 960 and 105.7 FM. The Truth Network. God bless you, brother.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate you, man.
You're awesome. Hey, we'll talk soon. Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.